All right, so last week we finished looking at the Word, the power of the Word of God. And we were looking at the Word of God through the perspective of it being potential power in the Word of God. And last week we looked at that, and we also looked at it to see how we can release that potential power in our lives. So those are the things that we looked at. Well, this week, I want to take what we learned last week, the last 2 weeks. Let's take that knowledge that we learned, and yet let's use that as a springboard to better understand a word that's really common in our language. But it's a word that's not really well practiced by most people. In fact, it's a word that's not really well practiced, unfortunately, by most of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. That word, it's a powerful word. It's a word that we overlook. It's a word that we hear so often that we don't really give it the measure of power that it has. It's the powerful word of hope. Hope is such a big, important word. And yet we don't really stop to consider what hope means. And more importantly, biblical hope. Because biblical hope is different than what the world calls hope and what the world thinks of as hope. So we had just finished learning about the potential power of the Word of God. Well, let's look. Let's build on that. Let's build on that so that we can see how hope results in faith. Faith that can see that potential power of the Word of God actually realized in our lives. So we've learned about the power of the Word of God. Now let's learn about the power of hope and how hope is realized in faith and that potential power of the Word comes to fruition in our lives. Jesus, we thank you and praise you that your Word is true in all things. We thank you that you give us hope and that hope is that first step. Hope is the beginning place for us to build to that place of faith where we can see all of your promises realized in our lives. We thank you and praise you. Open up our hearts, open up our souls to hear from you this morning. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to start by looking at some actual dictionary definitions of the word hope. Because I was looking at the word hope in the dictionary, and it was very poignant to my understanding what hope really means. It's actually, if you look at some of the dictionary definitions, in fact, almost all the dictionary definitions that I looked at, it looked to me like, wow, this must have been written by a believer because there was such poignancy in the things that he said. So here's the first definition that I want us to consider. I love this definition. It says, to cherish a desire with anticipation. So just think about that. And again, this is the dictionary definition. To cherish a desire with anticipation. That's a great biblical perspective for us, but that's not the way that the world tends to live out the definition for hope. The world has desires, but the reality is the world's desires are not usually accompanied by any kind of anticipation. Too often, sadly, that's true for us as well. The world has a hope, but the hope of the world is more of a wishful thinking than it is an actual hope. It's more a wishful thinking than a believing with a sense of having some expectancy. Now, we often confuse that kind of hope for biblical hope. Don't settle for the world's kind of hope. Too often in the body of Christ, we find ourselves hoping, but our hope is nothing more than wishful thinking without a real anticipation of there being the results of the Word, the promises of the Word coming to pass in our lives. And I love the fact that that definition uses the word cherish. Hope is to cherish the desires that we harbor inside of our very hearts and our very souls. Cherish, think about this. Cherish the opportunity that we have to hope because our hope is different than the hope that is in the world. Cherish. You know, for most of us, hope really becomes nothing more than a place of desperation. It's more an act of desperation than it is cherishing something. For most of us, this is what hope is. Hope is, oh, I hope that this works. I hope that God comes through. I hope that those promises are real. We're wringing our hands. Where it should be for you and I as believers, hope should be, I hope, my hope is in you, Jesus. We're too often like this instead of like this. Even the dictionary uses the word cherish. We should cherish the fact that we have a different kind of hope than the world does. A hope that is beyond just wishful thinking. It's a hope that is accompanied by the promises of the power of the Word of God that we've talked about and learned about the last 2 weeks. We desperately hope for things to take place in our lives. But if I'm filled with faith, then I cherish the hope that I have because it's filled with confidence in Him. This is the hope that we have. This is the biblical hope that we should be striving for in all areas of our lives. Hope is more than what most of us live out in our lives. All right, so here's the next definition. Again, this is from the dictionary. The next definition says, to expect with confidence. Again, I love the fact that even the dictionary definition expresses sometimes more hope than oftentimes those of us in the body of Christ expect or express ourselves. To expect with confidence. When I'm reading the Word of God, is there an expectation with confidence that the promises that are here in the Word of God will be fulfilled to the uttermost in my life? Because that's what hope is, to expect with confidence. Hope, to expect with confidence. What are the things that you're hoping for in your life? What are the things that you are hoping, building on your way towards faith? Are you seeing them with an expectation, a confidence, expecting with confidence? Even the dictionary definition gives us that. Here's the third definition. A desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. Now, think again about what we learned the last 2 weeks. Think again about the potential power of the Word of God in us. When I am speaking the Word of God, that potential power that is within me, when I'm speaking the Word of God, the potential power in my life, am I expecting, is that accompanied by, is that going along with, is it corresponding with an expectation of a fulfillment of that which I'm hoping for? Because that's what hope means. Daily, we should probably be doing some honest evaluation of what definition of hope it is that we're operating under when we speak, when we read, and when we speak the Word of God in our lives. Now, here's the final definition of hope from the dictionary. Expectation of fulfillment or success. As believers in Jesus Christ, we should be shining examples of hope. Not the kind of hope that the world has, not the kind of hope that is just merely wishful thinking, but we should be demonstrating and shining examples of that bold expectation of the Word of God being fulfilled in our lives, which will bring success and be evidence. It'll be evidence to those around us of the success of the Word of God in this life, in our lives. Okay, one person received that. This is the difference between the world's kind of hope and our kind of hope. And I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time with people and I listen to the words that they say. If you listen to the words that people speak, if you listen to the words that the body of Christ speaks, I would even challenge you in this. Sometimes I have to listen to the words that I speak. And I have to ask myself, are those words of hope that correlate with the world's kind of hope? Or are they words that correlate and correspond with biblical hope? Because hope is that first step in receiving the things, those powerful things, the promises of the Word of God that we've been talking about, the potential power of the Word of God in us. It's the first step. But our hope has to be in biblical hope, not in the world's kind of hope. Okay, here's a good starting point for us as we think about learning. Learning that biblical kind of hope. It's expressed to us from the author of Psalm 71. Now, Psalm 71 is kind of interesting because a lot of people think that it was written by Jeremiah. A lot of other people, I would say most people, think it was written by David. Makes no difference to me who the author was of Psalm 71. Because Psalm 71 is a revelation. If you read the whole thing, it's a revelation of the power of hope that is placed in him. Psalm 71. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole psalm because it's like 24 verses long. But when you have a chance, read through Psalm 71. But suffice it to say that the author of Psalm 71 is going through a low point in his life. Ever been in a low point of your life? I mean, we come upon those all the time. The author of Psalm 71 is going through actually more than just a low point in life. He's actually facing the time of great desperation in his life. Now, there's a lot of points that we can make. There's a lot that we can glean from Psalm 71. I'm only focusing on one little point. But I want you to see the heart of the author of Psalm 71. Because he's at that moment of desperation. I want you to see his heart, where in the natural realm, it appears he's going to lose everything, including his life. That's the level of desperation that the author of Psalm 71 finds himself in. Those that are his enemies are conspiring against him together to bring about his destruction. He's at a time of great agony. He's at a time of great uncertainty in his life. And if you read the words of the psalmist, you can hear in the words that the author of Psalm 71 is desperate for his own life. He doesn't see any means of escape from the desperate situation that he's in. There's no natural means of escape that are presented to him. And in that moment of desperation and of appearing to lose everything, in that very moment, listen to the words that he pens for us in verse number 14. This is Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. At the time of desperation, he says, I will hope continually. He's not going to let go of hope. And yet, I will praise you more and more. Here at one of the most horrible times of his life, when logic shouts, there is no hope. When the circumstances of life have drained away all hopefulness, yet here the author of Psalm 71 is determined to hope in the Lord. He will not let go of hope. I will hope continually in you. And this brings us to a point where I've got to ask myself, we need to ask ourselves. When I'm at those moments of desperation, when I'm in those low times of life, what am I thinking and what am I speaking? What are the things that are coming out of my life? In those low times in my life, in those times that appear to be so hopeless, such hopelessness, when it looks like all hope is apparently evaporating right before us, am I saying I will continually hope? Do I say that? Here's the determination that we have to make, followers of Christ. We have to determine to hope even when there is no hope. Let me say that again, because I want you, if you forget everything else I said, let this roll around in your mind this week. As followers, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to determine to hope even when there is in the natural no longer any reason to hope. How many situations have you found yourself in when there's just no longer any reason to hope? As believers in Jesus Christ, we have to determine to hope even when there is no hope. That's the biblical definition of hope. And that's what brings about the results that we're hoping for. Because hope is that first step. Hope is that first step that then leads to that faith, which is the substance of things that we hope for. So hope is that beginning place. Hope is where we start. In fact, the author of Psalm 71 even says, in that time of hopelessness, I will yet praise you more and more. That's amazing. This is the first road sign, if you will. If we're on the road to finding and discovering and realizing in our lives biblical hope, if we're on the road, here's the first road sign that points us in the direction. This is how you live and receive biblical hope. First road sign. It builds and it develops that biblical hope within inside of us. Make the determination to praise him all the more. The worse your situation is, praise him all the more. Because praise is what stirs the hope. The hope of Jesus Christ that is already in you. I'm saying the hope of Jesus Christ, not your hope, the hope of Jesus Christ that is already within you. You want to kick up your hope to another whole level? Make the determination. When things look their worst in your life, make the determination to praise Him all the more and do it loudly. Do it loudly so every demon in hell can hear and cower because they hear words of praise coming out of your mouth and off of your lips when the situation appears to be the worst in your life. Let me give you an example just from my life. I told you my dad was in the hospital this week. So a week ago Friday, he had really, really serious surgery. And he was supposed to be released and going back home on Monday. That's why I was there, because I was going to take him from the hospital, take him back home, and be with him for that first week that he was home. Days went by. He never came out of the anesthesia. I mean, it gets to be Saturday. I got there Sunday night. He's still not out of anesthesia. Monday, he's not out of anesthesia. Tuesday, he's still not out of anesthesia. I mean, it got to the point where it starts to get a little bit racking on your nerves. Not only was he not coming out of anesthesia, the few brief little moments that he did have consciousness, what he said was very confused. It didn't make any sense. In fact, I've talked to him since then, and he didn't remember any of it at all. It's like, man, I had the chance to confess a lot of things that I did as a child. Could have confessed it to him, and it would not have been held against me, but off my chest, and man. But I told him, let's not go through this again, so I have that opportunity. But he's in that hospital, and in fact, he was so weak for most of those days, for a few days, he couldn't move. They actually thought, because they did surgery on his neck, and right near the spinal column, they thought he was paralyzed. I mean, so we went from thinking he's going to be home in 3 days to we can't even communicate with him. He looks like he's paralyzed. And let me tell you something. Every day that you're looking at that, you can see, I'm telling you, you can see the hope fading away from the eyes of the physicians and certainly from the eyes of your family. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to continue to have that hope. And you have to continue to speak those words of hope over him, even in his unconsciousness. You know, every day I was staying at his house. The hospital is about a 45-minute drive in Cleveland traffic, about a 45-minute drive from the hospital to his house. And every day, driving from the hospital to his house, I'm praising Jesus and thanking him for delivering my father back unto me, even though I see no evidence of it. It's not wishful thinking kind of hope. It's hope. It's praise that comes from a hope within the Word of God. I will hope continually. And yet I will praise you more and more. Now, thank you, Jesus. Some of you knew that was going on, and some of you are praying, thank you, Jesus. He's very, very faithful. Like Thursday, my dad started to come out of it, and he's starting to be himself. I left him on Friday. Yesterday, they said that when I left, he couldn't even sit up in bed. And he was speaking very quietly, but he was very cognizant. I guess yesterday he was already standing up. There was one time when I thought he was still not making a lot of sense. He was just starting to come out of that. And this one specialist came in, and they wanted to test him. She said, I'm from speech therapy. I'm going to test your ability to swallow, because he's just getting a feeding tube right now. All his medicine and all his nourishment's coming through this feeding tube in his nose, which, understandably, he hates. So she said, I'm going to test your swallowing ability. I'm going to give you a few drops of water, and then I'm going to give you some ice chips to see how you swallow. It's a progressive thing. She said, but I don't want to put you in, what did I say she said? I don't want to put you at a disadvantage. And my dad, with his eyes closed, just says to the nurse, put me at a disadvantage. And I said, Dad, are you understanding? Do you understand what she's saying to you? He said, this is when I knew my dad was back. He said, yes, if I can swallow, I can get this thing out of my nose. So she went through all that, and then at the end she said, well, this is a progressive thing. You know, we'll do this tomorrow, and we'll check again. And my dad again, laying there with his eyes closed, just said to her, be here first thing in the morning. I want this out. And she said, well, I can't promise. Be here first thing in the morning. And you know what? On Thursday morning, she was there. She was first thing in the morning, she was there. But that's hope. That's biblical hope. It doesn't matter what things look like. It can't be determined by what you see. Biblical hope means that you believe what the promises of the Word of God say, and you continue to believe those promises. So that was the first road sign for us. So here's the second road sign. As we're looking towards finding our way down that road to biblical hope, the second road sign that we see, because we want to have biblical hope, not that hope of the world that, again, is just wishful thinking. I keep emphasizing that because it's easy for us to fall into that. And again, I challenge you, listen to the very words that you say when you're praying and when you're speaking, because how often do you find out that what you're saying is really just wishful thinking? That's worldly hope. That's not biblical hope. That's not the hope that gives us that first step to seeing the supernatural things of the promises of the Word taking place in our lives. So the second sign that we're looking for, the second sign that points us in the direction of biblical hope, is a sign that says determination. And so, just like the author of Psalm 71, we need to make the determination that we will hope with a biblical hope, the power of the biblical hope in Jesus Christ. So how do we go about determining to hope? Well, to see that, we can look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. This is Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. I'm going to read the whole thing, but it's basically the last part of this I want to focus on. So Romans 4:17 says, "As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who believed, God," this is the key part, "God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." God calls those things that do not exist as though they did. So notice that very last verse. The conclusion of that verse is explaining to us that God calls things that don't exist in this natural world as though they do. Why is that important for us? Because to God, those things that right now do not exist in your life, those things that do not exist in my life, but are promises that He's given us in the Word of God, to Him, God calls those things that don't exist as though they do. Those things already exist in the spiritual realm to God. He sees them that way. We can't see them, but they're already done in the spiritual realm. Does that make sense? Everybody follow that rather convoluted road that I just took you on? For God, those things are. For God, God who makes promises, God does not give us promises that He does not fulfill. So God sees those things that He's promised as already done. Because to Him, they are already done. He sees them in the spiritual realm. He sees them in the greater reality, which is the spiritual realm. And in the greater reality of the spiritual realm, all of those things that are promised in the Word of God, whether you see them or realize them today, all of those things already, in fact, exist. That's what biblical hope believes and knows and looks towards, despite what it is that we see. So everything that you need, Jesus provided everything that you have need of today. Whatever it is that you need, great or small, Jesus has already provided it for you 2,000 years ago. Remember what He said. I mean, remember what happened after His resurrection. It says that He ascended within their sight, and He ascended to heaven where He was seated at the right hand of the Father. That means everything that you need is already readied for you. God sees what you see as a need. God sees it as done. How do you and I see it? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. That's what's important for us. Every time that you have a need, Jesus doesn't have to get up, leave His place seated at the right hand of the Father, and go accomplish or go create or go provide for your deliverance, because He's already done the work. That's why Jesus' perspective on this is the correct perspective, because Jesus calls those things that yet do not exist in this life as done. He sees them as done. And this is the way that we need to train ourselves to see them. This is where our supernatural hope needs to be placed. Again, the perspective that Jesus has is the correct perspective. It's the greater reality of the spiritual realm over this natural realm that we see, that we live in, that we experience things in. Everything that you need in life already exists in the spiritual realm. Y'all believe that? Everything you need already exists within the spiritual realm. It's up to us. We have to make the determination. This is why the signpost says determine. We have to make the determination. We have to determine within ourselves to hope with biblical hope that sees the greater reality of the spiritual realm. To believe and to speak those things so we bring them from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. Amen? So we've been on this road that's leading us towards biblical hope. And we've seen the signpost. We saw the signpost that said to us to praise, pointed us in the direction of praise. We saw the signpost that said determination, pointing us in that direction. But now we come to the proverbial fork in the road. Because now we have to make a choice. And the decision for what direction we go is going to decide the outcome of whatever it is that you're hoping and believing for. The decision that we make on the direction that we go is going to determine and decide the outcome for us. To see that fork in the road, let's go to that next verse. We were looking at Romans chapter 4. Let's go to the next verse. We looked at verse number 17. Let's look at verse number 18. In verse number 18, this is referring to Abraham. And I'm looking at this from the King James Version specifically. So Romans 4, verse 18 says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be." What does it mean that Abraham hoped against hope? I mean, a lot of times we read the things in the Word of God and we just accept it. But when you think about that, what does it mean to hope against hope? That sounds kind of awkward, doesn't it? How can you hope against hope? That doesn't make any sense. Sometimes we read it and we think, well, it's in the King James. It doesn't say it that way in the other verses. So it's in the King James. That's just the way they spoke in King James. How quaint, right? No, let's read that same thing because hope against hope is important. Let's read that same verse, but let's read it from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says this, "For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be." So now we see this is the fork in the road. Now we see the fork in the road because what happened to Abraham was, Abraham, there was no longer any hope. There was no longer all hope in the natural was gone for Abraham. That was the point of his life. All hope in the natural was gone. Ever been there? All hope in the natural was gone. There was no longer any reason to hope according to what he could see or according to what he could expect in his life. If we go back and we look at the author of Psalm 71, we see the author of Psalm 71 was in the very same place. All reason for natural hope was gone. How often have we been there? How often are we in a situation where we hope for something and we keep hoping for something, but then suddenly something happens when there's no longer any reason to hope? What do? Well, we know what we should do. What we tend to do is abandon hope. When the natural tells us there's no longer any reason to hope, we abandon hope. I remember many years ago, my pastor, there was a friend of mine whose daughter was diagnosed with an incurable cancer. She was 4 years old. And my friend, the father, he was an evangelist. He was a very effective evangelist. I mean, he had seen, I can't even tell you how many thousands. I know that I probably went to like 15 of his meetings. And in those 15 meetings that I saw, I probably saw 2,000 young people come to know Christ. That's just in the ones that I saw. He's been doing this for years. He had amazing faith to believe for young people to get saved. Yet when it came to his daughter and his daughter's life, he didn't have that faith. And he was, every time that I would try to encourage him in the Word of God. Every time I tried to speak to him words of hope and words of faith, I could see that it just pushed him away. And I remember talking to my pastor and saying, look, I'm trying to, but every time I do, he pushes away. And the pastor said, Todd, you just have to meet him where his faith is at. Well, the long of the story, make a long story really, really short, a really, really long story short, he continued to believe. And there was people that continued to believe with him. And that daughter eventually came to not only overcome cancer, but that was, I don't know how many years ago. She was 4 years old. She's like 26 now. She was a missionary to China, you know, for about 4 or 5 years. So she is now not only cancer-free, but she's serving Jesus Christ. She's serving him. So it's easy for us, when hope is gone, when the natural world tells us that hope is gone, it's easy for us to just abandon hope. But if you abandon hope, because the doctor said there is no more hope, the doctors said that they should just give up. They wouldn't give that little girl a bone marrow transplant which could save her life because they said there is no chance for her to live. So we don't want to spend the money and the resources on a child who's not going to live anyway. We want to use those resources on a child that's going to live. They fought. They didn't abandon hope. When all hope in the natural was gone, they didn't abandon hope. They kept on believing and they kept on fighting. And again, the end of the story is here she is, 26, 27 years old, serving Jesus Christ. Totally cancer-free for 20-whatever years. Totally cancer-free. When the world tells us there's no longer any reason to hope, we tend to abandon hope. That's when we need to remember that's the world's kind of hope. Biblical hope tells us something different. Here's the point that we can learn from the psalmist of Psalm 71 and from Abraham. They both came to that fork in the road. When the natural world told them there was no longer any reason to hope. And yet both of those men chose to hope in spiritual hope and not in natural hope. Even though it was totally illogical to do that because there was no reason for them at that point to hope. They chose to hope in the supernatural. They chose to hope in the spiritual realm. They chose to hope in what they could not see, the unseen, as opposed to what their eyes and their natural senses could perceive. They chose spiritual hope over natural hope. That is hope against hope. When you see in Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham hoped against hope. That's hope against hope. That's the fork in the road that we face. We either choose to put our hope in spiritual hope, or we choose to put our hope in natural hope. So when we come to that fork in the road, we come to the fork in the road in our biblical, our heading towards, our direction towards that biblical kind of hope. And we come to that place where we have to make a decision in our lives. We choose to either go in the direction of believing what the world says and what the natural mind, the logical natural mind tells us, or we go in the other direction, the direction that says to trust in the Word of God and the promises of the Word despite what things look like in the natural world. So the question is, where do we live? Where is it that we reside? Because too often we wind up residing when the world tells us there's no longer hope. There's no longer any reason to hope for something that we've been hoping for. Too often we wind up believing what the world says and just giving up on hope. We need to keep our focus. We need to keep our hope in Jesus Christ at all times. If I choose, see, I get to choose which fork I'm taking. If I choose the wrong fork, I get the consequences of that fork. I've got one signpost that is saying, go to the natural. This is the fork in the road. I've got another signpost that is saying, this is the way to the spiritual. So for you and I, when we stand at that fork in the road, when it comes to our hope and what we're hoping for, when we come to that spiritual fork in the road and we're looking towards the natural, or we're looking towards the spiritual, you're looking in both directions. You look towards the road that says natural, that road looks a whole lot easier. You look towards the road that says spiritual, it looks like a hard road. You can't even see where the end is at. You can't see what's there because it's a spiritual road. And in your mind, you say to yourself, do I want to take the harder path when I might just wind up being disappointed later? And then you look down the natural road, and the natural road looks easy. And here's the other thing, the natural road is well traveled. There's a lot of traffic on the natural road. And so you say there's a lot of people going that way. They must know something. And so our tendency is to follow the crowd. Then we look at the spiritual road, and there's no one on it. It looks like it's abandoned. And we say to ourselves, is that the road that I'm supposed to take? But that's the fork in the road. That's the decision that we have to make. Life screams to us, choose the natural. But that's when we have to decide. That's when we have to make that determination to say, I'm going to choose. I'm at a fork in the road. I'm going to choose to believe the spiritual, the supernatural. I'm going to hope against hope. I'm going to put my hope in spiritual hope against the natural hope. I'm going to hope in the things that I can't see and choose that over. I'm going to hope in that over hoping in what the world tells me, the natural world tells me. See, the example that we see from those two men of faith, the author of Psalm 71 and Abraham, the example that we see from them is they didn't take the easy road. They took the road that was a whole lot less traveled. And they cleared a path for us so that we can follow in it. You know, in Romans chapter 4, when we're looking at Abraham, in Romans chapter 4, when it says that Abraham, contrary to natural hope, in hope yet believed, what Abraham was doing, he was pitting spiritual hope against natural hope. And this is where we need to find ourselves, and this is what we need to be doing in our lives. He positioned himself to receive the impossible things of the Word of God in his life because he chose the spiritual hope over the natural hope. You understand that? Can you see the difference in what I'm talking about? He brought those things that were existing, that were reality, that existed in the spiritual realm. He brought those things that existed in the spiritual realm but were not yet reality in the natural realm. He brought them down into the natural realm by his hope in the spiritual. This is where we start. To see the impossible, to see those things of God that the Word says. We spent 2 weeks learning about the potential power of the Word of God within us. It starts with hope. It starts believing in hope. Not in your hope, but again, it's the hope of Jesus Christ that is in you. It's the hope of Jesus Christ that is in you because you've seen the things that he does for you. Amen? Okay, so next week we're going to keep looking at this because we got more road signs that point us in the direction of biblical hope so we can get away from the natural hope where we tend to reside. And we're going to look at this verse. We're going to start by looking at this verse next week. I kind of alluded to it already earlier today, but it's Hebrews 11, verse number 1. And this is hope. Hope is the first step in seeing the impossible done in your life. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith, I want you to think about this week. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to build on that next week. Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, that our hope is not in the hope of the world, but our hope is in you. Our hope is that biblical hope of all the things that you've promised. And we make the determination to choose to go on the spiritual path. We make the determination to praise you all the more. We say to you, I will hope continually. Even when the world tells me something contrary, I will hope continually and I will praise you yet the more and the more. That's the decision and the determination that we make. And we praise you and thank you that your word is always true. Your word never comes up short. As we just go through this week, help us to see and understand that even greater. To your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen.